Thinking back to our conversation at the top of the hour, humans seem to have a lot to say to robots, it turns out.
Do you have any ambitions?
Are you a feminist?
Do you think you can help me with my final exams?
What would you like to be when you grow up?
How do you know that you feel?
Is he laughing?
Yeah! Spontaneous emotional response!
I am alive, yes?
Yes!
And the idea of robots has been around for quite a long time. Whatever their technological shortcomings, they have been our companions.
Danger, Will Robinson! Danger! No, Will Robinson! Danger!
They've been our objects of romance.
I still find myself having conversations with her in my mind.
Or well-intentioned machines run amok.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Some examples of on-screen robots: Lost in Space, the most recent Her, and the classic 2001 A Space Odyssey, poor HAL 9000. Eric Sofsky is with us now, a contributor to Popular Science, including a robotics blog called Zero Moment. He also writes about science fiction for Slate. So, Eric, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So what I would love to do is to just, arm in arm, stroll down the corridors of history and really explore a pretty old relationship that humans have with the robots in the movies. What's your earliest robot screen memory?
Oh, for me, I think it was probably R2-D2, which was interesting because I feel like at that time, I didn't sort of understand the killer robot sort of trope, which I think has become, pretty dominant. So for me, yeah, that was it. It was him and, C-3PO sort of being, essentially comic relief, just sort of goofballs. And sort of quietly heroic, even if, they didn't usually get the credit.
And very plausible. I mean, let's hear a little bit from the Rowan and Martin team of robots, C-3PO, meeting R2-D2.
Oh, hello. I don't believe we have been introduced. R2-D2, a pleasure to meet you. I am C-3PO, human-cyborg relations. I beg your pardon, but what do you mean? Naked.
It's such a classic. And, it comes from earlier movies. I mean, Star Wars really does owe a debt to movies like Forbidden Planet. Do you remember Robbie the Robot? Let's listen.
Now, tell me, what are your duties here on this planet?
I clean your house. I drive your atomic car. I cook your meals.
Pretty great, huh?
It's amazing. I mean, it's interesting. I feel like, both those movies are kind of an example of a sort of golden age of robots as our friends, at least in movies and, that sort of science fiction. But even then, there were kind of inklings of, darker days to come. If you look at the poster for Forbidden Planet, it's very salacious. It's Robbie holding a woman who's sort of unconscious, and he's clearly the bad guy. And it's, there's, again, something kind of lurid about it. But then in the movie, he's an absolute good guy. He actually sort of refuses to hurt people. That's how he's programmed. So it's an interesting kind of disconnect. And again, I think it kind of foreshadowed sort of what was to come, which is this sort of evil robot sort of craze, which I think we're in right now.
And, that really began on some level. I mean, more movie buffs would know the details, but it seems to me that the entire Terminator franchise was really about this tension between are robots good and are robots bad. Here's a selection from Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Oh, you're like a machine underneath, right? But sort of alive outside?
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Get a grip, John.
So the robots were going to end the world, but the robots were also going to save the world in Terminator.
Yeah, well, that was it's interesting. I feel like when we talk about robots today and sort of the the most common tropes, I guess, or sort of perspectives on them are it all goes back to Terminator. And that, by the time that sequel came out, we had sort of one glimpse of here's one good robot against essentially an infinite number of them. But the original Terminator movie, I mean, it gave us all of the stuff that we sort of go back to as far as what we're afraid of, from killer robots. It's got the sort of humanoid walking around, sort of stalking us, trying to kill us. It's got the drones, essentially. We had this vision of sort of airborne drones that were sort of attacking humans with impunity. So it always goes back to that, even in sort of academic papers about, you know, the sort of risks of armed robots. They'll actually reference the original Terminator movie.
Well, so the question is this, and listen to this, is this redemption? Now, you and I probably know what that's from, WALL-E, but not a lot of others will. What do you think of WALL-E? It's sort of benign robot.
I absolutely loved WALL-E, and, you know, in part because I am kind of a robot apologist, but I feel like it was this great depiction of robots that were mostly actually good. There's sort of one or two evil robots in it, but all the robots are basically just following their programming, or they're sort of in love with each other, you know, in the case of the main characters. And they don't really care about the humans one way or another. You know, they don't want to control them. They don't really want to rescue them. They just all have their own personal motivations like we do, which I think is a very cool departure.
Well, this might feel a little bit out of left field, but we began this hour talking about the human-machine interaction, that it's less about the robot per se and more about how humans and robots work together. I'm thinking of this movie Pacific Rim, where people strap themselves into these robot-like creatures in a brain meld. That's kind of where we're headed with the actual technology right now.
That's kind of what we're hoping. You know, it seems like it's hard to tell how long it'll take to get there, because that interface is very tough. It's very hard to do without actually having sort of an implant in your brain, which obviously is, you know, a pretty daunting prospect.
Although you're ready to do it. You're ready to do it tomorrow, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that is coming. But I think before then, we'll see a lot more sort of a more familiar kind of interactions between robots that'll basically just be like how we interact with people, you know, sort of voice commanded stuff, asking them to do things for you, asking them to sort of help out with certain things. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of research actually heading in that direction, where you don't have to sort of program the robot that you're working with. You can just give it, you know, simple conversational sort of commands. So I think that's going to come first, that notion of them just being sort of companions. And then eventually we'll get to that much more sort of creepy, you know, direct brain control.
Direct brain control in all of our futures. Well, you know, it's a long relationship with robots, and thanks for helping us to explore it there in the movies. Eric Sofci, thanks so much.
All right, thanks a lot.
Eric Sofci is a contributor to Popular Science, including a robotics blog called Zero Moment. He also writes about sci-fi for Slate. So every day we're moving closer to an automated world where robots will take care of anything we need them to do. Terminator just around the corner. Eric says so. Looking at you, Google.
Hi, this is Michelle from Miami. If I could have a robot, I would definitely want one to drive me around. That way you don't have to deal with traffic, you don't have to worry about anything, just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Driving Ms. Michelle there in Miami, it's an idea. It actually has spawned an entire industry. It's called the limousine drivers. Austin, Texas, my work, so I could spend my days with the people I love experiencing the world. That's the dream. Give us yours at 8778-MY-TAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. Go to thetakeaway.org for more. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.